All right, before I talk anything about Ireland or mission trips or Bible verses, I'm just going to pray and go to the Lord for help. Our Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you this morning that we got to worship you for the inexpressible gift, Father. There is no words, there is nothing that we could do justice to, Father. He is just so amazing. So we thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you that he died for us, Father, and that he gave himself for us. He loved us and gave himself for us, Father. And now as we speak about the work of the Lord, Father, we just pray that this report wouldn't just be a geography report. This wouldn't just be about things that men are doing, that we would see that this is the work of the Lord. This is your work. And we just pray that all of us, including myself, Father, would just be challenged. We'd open our eyes up to opportunities we have in evangelism today in 2008. So we just pray that you'd help us. Give us help, Father. And we're completely dependent upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So it's nice to be back in Winnipeg. It's been a long run. I've been away. For some of you who maybe don't come here or you're new here, I'd just like to say I was gone for almost 3 months. I was gone in Ireland. That's the Ireland Summer Missions Trip 2008. And I saw the Lord work a lot, and I had a lot of fun. And so today I've been asked just to do a missionary report. So this kind of makes me wish that I listened to all the previous missionary reports that we did, that people have given, but I'm just going to tell what the Lord has been doing, and hopefully that'll be okay. If Craig, you want to move on, I was supposed to have a wireless mouse or whatever you call it, but we didn't get that far, so if you can just go to the next slide. So why in the world Ireland? Like, why did I go to Ireland? Why didn't I go stay here and do evangelism? There's a lot of good things happening here. There's camps, there's gospel meetings, there's seed source efforts. So why Ireland? Well, I got asked about Ireland by a few brothers and sisters, just really encouraging me to go, and I kept on making excuses. A couple things I say as well. I really feel the Lord's gifted me, you know, in teaching the scriptures rather than running around telling people the gospel. So that was one excuse. Another one was I wouldn't admit it, but I just wanted to make money. I just wanted to stay here and make some cash. And so that was another excuse that I had. I had many excuses why I didn't. And throughout a few months, the Lord spoke to me. Anyone who knows me knows that I like to listen to ministry. I'm kind of like just a ministry machine. It just keeps going every night. I listen to more ministry. And I was listening to one brother from Dallas Theological Seminary, and he was saying that missions is very important. And he's stressing the point that the Lord Jesus, if I can say reverently, was the greatest missionary, wasn't he? And he came down here. And how he died for us, and how important missions is. And I never really, to be honest, I always liked the idea of missions, but for myself, I never thought it would be something for me. I always thought, you know, I don't really like learning languages, and I didn't really want to go to another country and do renovations. Our assembly, we love renovations, don't we? There's renovations party almost every weekend, and I don't know if you notice, I'm never there unless there's pizza at the end. So I'm just not practical that way. So I was just wondering, like, where can I fit in? When I heard about this opportunity to go to Ireland, I didn't have to speak a different language, yet it's a different culture. I thought, you know, this would be a good place for me. If you go to the first point. So why Ireland? I wanted to get equipped by evangelists. If you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. So I'll read. So what I want to stress here is, yes, evangelists are to be in the work, and they're supposed to be doing the work. Paul writes to Timothy and says, do the work of an evangelist. But also in Ephesians 4, it talks about how pastors, teachers, and evangelists are there to equip the saints. So every Christian has an obligation to preach the gospel, because that's what evangelists are for, is to teach other people how to evangelize. And so this was a really good, there's an orientation part for a week. I'll explain what organization I went to in a second, but they went and they taught you, and we did some role playing. It was really cool. Just how to talk to people about Christ and stuff like that. Also, if you want to turn to Acts 8, this little word I got, I have to admit, I got from J.B. Nicholson, listening to him on tape. I want you to notice in Acts 8 when it says they were scattered. So verse 1, and Saul approved of his execution, and there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So here are these people, these Christians, and they were scattered to Judea and Samaria, and the apostles stayed. If you look at verse 4 now, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So that's not the apostles. These aren't the high-end evangelists, if you can think of it that way. It was everyone. All the Christians went around the regions preaching the word. So it's a responsibility for us all to preach the word and be ready to preach the word. So that kind of spoke to me. And I've always kind of been interested in evangelism, but I just didn't know if I had the gift. So I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go, because it was only for a month. Obviously, I stayed a little longer. And I thought, you know, it's just 1 month of my life, and if I hate it, at least I've been equipped, and at least I've learned stuff, and I can just go back and work and do whatever I wanted to do after in the summer. So that was one reason, is to be equipped, try new methods of evangelism. If you go to the next point, Craig, another reason, I already talked about it a bit, is missions. I've always been kind of interested in missions, and then once I heard that message from Dallas Theological Seminary, it really opened up my mind of how important is missions. There are people in Winnipeg that are in reach, but there's definitely people in Ireland, especially the south of Ireland, that are completely unreached. If you want to turn to Romans 10, Romans 10 and 14, but how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So that was kind of, those verses really spoke to me. This summer, I really wanted to have beautiful feet for the Lord Jesus. I really wanted to reach the unreached. There's in the south of Ireland, there's a lot of people that have not even been reached at all with the gospel. It's it's all marked by Catholics. Like 99.999% of doors I went to were raised Catholic. They may not hold it anymore, but they're raised Catholic. It's all been stuffed down their throats, and also God has been misrepresented, because the boys in the north would come down, sometimes the Protestants, and they would try to stuff the gospel down their throats, or they would preach the gospel, a nice clear gospel message, and then they'd take a gun and shoot it at their heads. is really what it was. It was the Protestant and Catholic fight. And God has been, so not only have they not been reached, but even when they tried to be reached, it was misrepresented. Christianity, authenticated Christianity, has been completely damaged almost, representedly has been damaged. So we're there, and there's a couple other groups. There's some Baptists, but very little evangelical movements in the south of Ireland. And also, there'd be a lot of charismatic groups, but sadly, they wouldn't preach the gospel at all. It would be just all fluffy, if I can say that. If we move on to our next slide. So what is TNT? Because that's the group I went with, and it's an assembly-based group. It's called Teach and Testify. I was supposed to bring like a script of their mission statement. I completely forgot, so I'm just kind of wing it. They're just an organization. Basically, it's for a month for young people. There's some older people that come, but majority is for younger people, and just for them to experience, work with some of the missionaries in the south of Ireland. It's just to experience evangelism for some people that haven't tried it, for some people that are interested in it. Just basically to get them motivated and to try to do missions without learning another language is basically what TNT is. So it was from May 18th to June 12th is what the organization was for. For a week they had teaching. If you go to the next slide, Craig. Oh yeah, I gotta tell you about Irish religion. I pretty much did. Basically they're all Catholic. I actually took this picture in Waterford. They had a huge parade. By the way, this is not my team, okay? Like, we didn't carry Mary, all right? We actually, you know, preach the gospel and all that stuff. But I know, like, we just took this picture as, like, a big parade. And it's just sad since everyone's marching at it. Like, some of the young people were making fun of them, but they would just be atheists or whatever. So either they're Catholics or they're atheists. Barely any of them are Christians, so that is really another reason why I wanted to go, is to reach these unreached people. If you go to the next slide, this is our orientation. I'll show you on the map here. I flew in May 18th to Dublin, and we went to Greystones, which is about right here, basically Dublin, like an hour away from Dublin. And we had orientation there for a week, and it was right by the ocean. We rented a Bible college. We're not affiliated with them. We just rented it. And so we were there for a week. And I'll just tell you, I got to, there's two teams after we went to orientation. One stayed in Dublin, and the other team went way down here to Waterford. I don't know if you can see it. That's kind of where I was. I'll just tell you another thing since I'm down here. All these blue dots are all gospel halls. They're all the assemblies. Alone in Belfast, it's 40 gospel halls, which is, I mean, that's nuts. And then you come down here, and there's like, all these green ones are assemblies, and you can tell, like, there's something wrong, isn't there? Like, hundreds of gospel halls here, and like, barely any gospel halls down here. And the orange are Christian workers, so that can help you out a bit. Come back up here and preach. So here's the orientation. If you go to the next slide, so this is kind of how it was. It was just really informal. We did things like role playing, like pretending someone was a non-Christian, someone was a Christian, and of course they picked on me at first and tore me apart. But it was a lot of fun, and got to learn about Irish culture a bit. And it was just a really good time of just learning how to be equipped for evangelism. If you go to the next slide, see what it is. Here's my team. Some of you might be interested to know that's Zach Sarlo. So Mark and Jody, now I can identify with you. I know how it is to live with Sarlo. So if you want counseling sometime, I can definitely know what you're going through. But yeah, it was definitely interesting because there's like 9 or 10 of you staying in one house. So it goes for some good chemistry. It's interesting living with 9 people, I'll just put it that way. If you go to the next slide, there's Matt Wright. He's a commended worker. He's about 30 years old. And he was raised in the north in Port Rush, which is the north coast of Ireland. And he was working, he's doing evangelism there, and he just felt the need to go to the south and try to reach the unreached people. That's his dad, really good character. He's in a wheelchair, actually. He got paralyzed. He's so faithful to the Lord. That's his mother. And they've always had a heart to be missionaries. Yet he had his downfall. She had a tumor. So they were never able to be missionaries. And the two places they would want to go is either the south of Ireland or an Asian country. And Matt Wright's laboring in the south of Ireland for now 5 years. And just of last year, I think, their son Paul moved to the Philippines. And he has a burden to reach people that are completely unreached, that don't even have a Bible. He wants to translate it, so he has a heart for that. So it's kind of interesting that their sons are the missionaries for them, even though they couldn't do it. So actually, her dad, some people might be interested, works with the Koreans and started a bunch of Korean assemblies. I forget his name. I know you guys would love to know his last name or whatever, but I forgot his name. If you go to the next slide, this is showing that we did actually do work. This is what you call letterboxing, just putting it through the mailbox. And you see there's dogs. Ireland has so many dogs. It's pretty scary. But I guess I'll just tell you what I did every day for a month, pretty much. We had the same schedule. At 8 o'clock, we'd have breakfast. So if you want to have a shower and devotions, you got to get up at like 6. And then we had devotions probably at like 8:30 or 9. And a brother, David Wilson, led it. He's T. Ernest Wilson's grandson, I believe. And he led it in 2 Corinthians. It was such a good Bible study. So good just to start off on the right foot. And then about 9:30 or 10, we'd go out letterboxing. I brought it here. We distribute these 4U magazines, and they're really good. It's from an evangelical company, but they're really good. It's really sound, well made, these magazines. So we gave about 20,000 out or so. And so that was the morning. So then we'd have lunch at 12:30 or whatever, have lunch. Maybe it was great. We had quiet time for 20 minutes where you could just get in the Word and enjoy the Word, which was really nice. And then in the afternoon, we would go door knocking. So that was interesting. A lot of good conversations with people. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'd have open air. And we'd do sketchboard and try to just reason with people. So you'll see some of these pictures as we go. But this is just a picture of us letterboxing with the dog in the background. If you go on, Craig, this is my first day at the square. There's in Ireland, a lot of times they'll have just a walking square, kind of like the Forks, but more downtown. And everyone just walks around. There's a bunch of shops and malls and stuff. So all the young people are there. So the first day, actually, we just ran around giving out doing surveys, like, do you believe in God? Do you read the Bible? And try to just a bridge to connect with people, to witness to people. And I was really discouraged the first day because I went through all this orientation, and I've witnessed here a few times, you know, but when I was there the first day, they put us out, and I was like, oh, man, like, the devil was just really discouraging me. I walked around probably, I'll admit it, guys, I walked around for probably 20 minutes, didn't even witness to anyone. I was just, I don't know, I was nervous, you know, and the devil was really discouraging me. And here, you know, I got provided to come to Ireland and all this stuff, and I'm not even witnessing. I was really discouraged. And yet the Lord used that day. And I did start doing surveys. And I had some amazing conversation. People heard the gospel that have never heard the gospel before. And I got to share. And these people, there's another guy with a mohawk. And I really wanted to witness to these young people. I'm like, how am I going to do it? They're in a group. And they, you know, they kind of look intimidated. And I'm like, man, like, Lord, how am I going to do this? I was praying to the Lord. And I thought of an idea. I told my friend, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to them and be like, you guys have some pretty cool clothes on and long hair, all this stuff. Can I get a picture with you guys? So I got a picture with them, and that's kind of how I got my in in with them, and I talked about just Irish culture and rugby and stuff, and I got to witness to them, and some of them were actually open to hear about the Word of God. It was really cool. So that's just my first day witnessing in Ireland. Go on, Craig. So this is open air. We'd only do it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we had a sketchboard. That's Matt Wright speaking there. That's me. My little bag for all my material. So as you can see, this is probably Thursday, so there's not a big crowd. On Saturday, there's a lot of young people out. Like, this whole thing would be packed on Saturday, but it's a little smaller this time. But it was really good opportunity. A lot of people stopped. A lot of people would listen. And I think my favorite part is after it's done. And what happens is you just say, once you're done, you say, does anyone want literature? And you give it out, and then you have conversations. And that's probably where it's most edifying. Go on, this is my first open air. Hopefully last. No, just joking. As you can see, you can't really see it that good. The paint was really wet. So let's just say God, you, and then sin, and I put a cross. And it was definitely interesting doing open air. There were some people that listened. A lot of people there'd be crowds of people that listen and then leave. But there was two atheist guys, one agnostic, one atheist, that listened the whole time. And they were kind of like my fan club. I was, joking around with them, asking them questions. They would respond, sometimes accurate, sometimes not. But it was just good that they laughed at the right times, and they were serious at the right times. And they actually gave me the time of day. And I got to talk to them after, which is a great opportunity. Gave them some literature. So that's my first open air. If you want to keep going. So this is the Waterford Assembly. That's David Wilson, really good Bible teacher. So he's still there. I think the assembly started like 3 or 4 years ago. It's still really small. Matt first went there and started it, and David Wilson came from America to help. And so it's still really small, but they're working, and they're trying to get it established so David can move somewhere else. And so this is the nice small assembly. I was asked to speak once at this assembly. They're really nice believers and really dear believers. I got along with all of them. Want to move on. So this is Maeve witnessing. We had some teens that Matt's working with. So she just got saved, and she was getting off heroin and stuff. And Matt really had to work with her a lot, and she's still coming along. But it was really nice to see her witnessing, see her enjoying the things of the Lord. If you want to move on, Craig. There she had her baby, so I saw her when she's pregnant, and then she had her baby. And she named her son Matthew, named after Matt Wright, commended worker. So that was kind of nice. The only guy influence, positive influence. And it's an interesting story. She was really encouraged to have an abortion because of complications with the baby, yet she stood strong in the Lord. Helped her through it, and everyone, including her mom, was saying, get an abortion, and she stood strong, so I really have a lot of respect for her. She's only 16 years old, so this is kind of, there's on Sunday evenings, we have a teen Bible study, or Sunday afternoons, we have a teen Bible study. She comes to it, and a couple other guys. Some of them are in the assembly, some of them don't want to go to the assembly, but we're still giving them Bible teaching on Sunday afternoon, and I was asked to lead the Bible study. I was like, okay. It was like one of my first days there. I was like, okay, so like just like conversational style, I'll just do like open up for 10 minutes and then let everyone talk. And they're like, no, you got to lead the Bible study for an hour. And I was like, oh boy, here I'm from 8 o'clock in the morning to usually midnight we go, because we go to different meetings. And sometimes it took 2 or 3 hours to get to the meeting. And so you're trying to study when you get home at like 1 in the morning and study for these meetings and stuff. It's interesting because I got a letter of commendation, and the brethren really gracious to me and said that I'm interested in evangelism and Bible teaching. But I actually had to approve my letter of commendation by how I worked. And so it was interesting having that Bible study, but it worked out. I've done it. I did it twice. Led their teen Bible study, and it was good just to see the young people take part and interest in the Word of God. I want to move on. This is our Bible study in Athlone. Athlone is the middle of Ireland, right here. So that's where Matt Wright is just moved to Athlone. And so he has a real burden for that. So we had a Bible study in Athlone. And so that kind of wraps up. I got to go really quick. That kind of wraps up Athlone. I mean, TNT, sorry. So for that, so then I decided to stay on because I was burdened about the work and I just loved Ireland. So I stayed on, and for 2 weeks I got some time to relax, which is really good. I went to Belfast, and I got to read out a book, The Cross of Christ by John Stott, which is really, it's a life-changing book. I suggest it to anyone. And I just got to read and enjoy the scriptures. And just it was a nice oasis for me, you know, just to, because the works can sometimes be really draining sometimes. Even though it's enjoyable, it could be draining. So I did that for a week, and then I came back and helped people in Dublin, working with travelers. Travelers are people that are kind of, can I say, lower-end people that don't have a lot of food and stuff. So we gave them food, and we went into their houses and had Bible studies and stuff. So I did that for a week, and then we, if you go to the next slide, this is our preseason friendly for Athlone. Athlone, I started July 1st, and it's a new work. If you see this, if you see these lines, this is Matt saying that there's basically nothing happening here. So orange is for Christian workers, so there's pretty much only one Christian worker, one over here, but there's nothing really happening. This is, this town Athlone, it's about 20,000. In there, but they want to make it into 100,000, so it's a booming city. It's in the middle of Ireland, and there's a lot of new things happening. So Matt's been working there, and there's some people that he saw come to the Lord, and so there's just a new work happening. There's not an assembly yet, but this is our just to get to know the team and stuff. We had some Bible teaching on the Old Testament survey, so like these two people are local Irish people that that just got saved, and then like some other people were part of the team that we got along with. So Friday night we had a supper and we just enjoyed fellowship. And then Saturday we just had some basic Bible teaching for the new believers. If you go on, we rented two apartments, one for the girls and one for the guys. And so that's Christine Jetty. She's the Sarlo's cousin, I believe, and she's a commended worker. She just moved to Waterford to help out there and to try to disciple the young girls and also to evangelize to all the women in Waterford. So she was definitely interesting. It was fun going door knocking with her. If you keep going, Craig, this is some of the team that sorry, I look really angry in that picture. I'm not. I was having a really good time. But this is some of the team. Girls and guys, we come up from up north, from the Gospel Halls up north, and come help us in Athlone. Athlone was a little different than TNT because it's for 2 months. So we were a little more laid back in our schedule. We'd start at 9 o'clock because you got to pace yourself. You're going to do work for two months. So we start at 9 o'clock, have breakfast, we had a Bible study. They stuck me on leading the Bible study for a couple weeks in 1 John. And so that was definitely interesting. And then we did doors again for about 2 hours in the morning, and then we'd have lunch. And it was really interesting in Athlone. It's really cool. For lunch, a lot of times Matt would invite non-Christians for lunch, and for supper too. They call it tea. You invite them for tea. So that was really interesting, just kind of living like almost like a commended worker's life. Like you think your day was done, and then you come home and you got to create conversation with these non-Christians, and we wouldn't always just talk about the gospel. We'd just try to be friends with them and just encourage them. Sometimes they'd be believers, local believers that have just got saved. So we'd always try to have someone over. If you want to keep going, this is some of our staff, some of our material, our tracks, and we also gave out CDs. Right here, here's some. If anyone wants to look at them, this is What is the Meaning of Life? And this one is the religion the root of all evil? So they're definitely thought-provoking CDs, kind of gospel messages for the Catholics and for, well, anyone, atheists and stuff. So if you want to keep going, Craig, this is what we had. We had seminars for a week, Christianity on Trial. Anyone's interested in getting any of these messages, you can go to, you can write down this website. And they're really good messages, excellent messages. This was good to tell all the old grannies. Is the Irish Christian facing extinction? Because they're all worried because young people aren't going to Mass anymore and all this stuff. And they think they themselves are Christians, so they're saying it's dying out. And we're saying, well, religion is dying out, but authenticated Christianity is not dying out. It will never die out. And so that was kind of cool. What's the meaning of life? We also reasoned with people, should God surrender to science? And we'll see more pictures of this. So we just reasoned with people. If you want to keep going, Craig, this is Jim Crooks. He's a professor from Belfast, goes to Gospel Hall in Belfast. He did it on the meaning of life. And these are just seminars. It was in a hotel. There was no singing or anything, but it's just informal. And also after the meeting, there you can write down questions, and then there'd be open time where people can state their opinions, because we advertise this as Christianity on Trial. So people that had different views can put up their hand, and if you want to say debate with us or discuss with us what true Christianity is. If you want to keep going. This is Tim speaking on Should God Surrender to Science. He's a geek. He's an awesome geek. He's 21 years old. He's already finished physics, his degree in physics, and he's mastering in physics. And he loves the scriptures. If you go to the next slide, you'll see that. He talked about science, and then at the end, it totally fit. He talked about the gospel, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he stated the key question isn't, should God surrender to science? It's, I should surrender or submit to God. And he brought in the scriptures so great, and he was very passionate. He was just as passionate about the gospel as he was about science, and just trying to tell people that science and God are friends, not foes. They're not, it's not opposition to one another. So we really we tried some apologetics, and we also just explaining why God exists and stuff. And we'd every night you'd hear a good clear gospel message. Want to keep going. This is Stevie Rogers. He's from Gospel Hall up north. I forget where. I think, oh yeah, Banbridge, Ireland. Anyone knows that? He's a great Bible teacher. So after the meeting, this lady was a Catholic. This lady was a charismatic evangelical. So he went for some interesting theology. But he was just teaching them and breaking down the word. And it was really good how he was just explaining the gospel. If you want to keep going, this guy's Alan. He came the first night, and the first night is, does God care if I don't care? And he saw that, and he was, that night he was going to take his life, and yet he read that on the leaflet. He said, you know, well, maybe God cares about me. Maybe someone cares about me. And so I was able to discuss with him and just tell him how much Jesus actually loves him. And it's interesting, that night he stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning reading his Bible. It's really encouraging. And he's not saved yet, of what I know of the emails I'm getting, but he's really interested in having a couple nights a week having Bible study with Matt Wright. So he's having Bible studies. And our whole thing in Athlone was pushing Bible studies because Matt's moving there in September. So we've got about 8 or 9 people that are willing to, non-Christians, willing to have Bible studies, systematically just go through John's gospel and teach the scripture. So we're really excited about that. Want to keep going, Craig. Here's our free books. We have CDs of previous seminars, Christianity on Trial. We have free Bibles, Case for Christ, Case for Creator, all that good stuff. Keep going. Here's the crowd. They just love the books. We try to keep the Christians from taking a lot. We maybe give them 1 or 2. But we like the non-Christians get most of the stuff. So it was definitely interesting. There would always be someone manning the booth, making sure things are going smoothly. What now? So that was basically Athlone. It was really good. It was a really good experience. Just learning. Like one day, I'll give you one day in Athlone. In the morning, we met with a lady, and she invited us into her house when we were door knocking, and we talked to her for about 2 hours. And later when we were leaving, we're like, well, you know, maybe you can come around for tea, for supper sometime. And she picked up the Bible and she said, the only thing I'm hungry for is this. And I was like, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Seeing people interested in the Word of God. And we're so happy to see her. And she's connected to a Bible study now. And it's just so amazing to see that. And then in the afternoon, we saw the Lord work. We just randomly went to a door and we met one of our contacts. We didn't even know where she lived. And so she wasn't, we thought we lost her as a contact, but we met her. And we don't know if she's a Christian or not, but we got to spend a couple hours just showing her the Word of God. I explained in John 15 that the Lord Jesus is our friend and he gave his life for her. And she was really encouraged about that. She might even be a Christian. She professes to be. So we got to encourage her in the Lord and just share the Word of God with her. And then in the evening when we thought we were done, that night we didn't really have a Bible study. I was going to the Chipper, which is fish and chips, me and a couple friends. And we were just walking and we saw this lady just standing there. So we started talking to her and she just broke down and started crying. And we got to witness to her and we invited her up for fish and chips and got to explain John 4 with her, and it was just amazing. It's like you're never off duty, you know. Like even when you go out to play ball, like basketball or something, it was just great to see, you know, witness to the kids when you're playing basketball. Anywhere you went, it seemed like the Lord was really working in Athlone. So you can just pray for Athlone, and keep it in your prayers. I just got an email on Tuesday that they just heard that a week ago someone got saved there. So that's really encouraging. And also they were on the doors and there's this guy who left the Catholic Church, didn't see it fit with Scripture, went to Jehovah's Witness and for a couple years, saw that it didn't fit with Scriptures, and he's looking for a place to go that fits Scriptures. And he's not a Christian yet. And he even said, he's like, well, I'm going to go to your Bible teaching seminars, but if it's not consistent to Scriptures, I'm not going. So it's encouraging, you know, that he's like the Bereans that goes to the Scriptures rather than just hearing what men have to say. But now I just want to wrap it up saying, now what? It's great to go on a mission trip, but if it doesn't challenge you, me, or if I can't challenge other people with it, it's kind of meaningless. So here's the three essential things I've learned in witnessing is communion. I won't take time to read it, but 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your heart, and you want to give a reason for the hope that is within you. So I think the first thing is communion with our Lord. It's really hard to witness if you're not right with the Lord, and it's so much easier. I love it right before we go on the doors. It's just to pray with whoever I'm with, and it helps even practically because it reminds you what you're out there for, and it just keeps you fresh. So definitely communion is the number one thing if you want to witness, is to be enjoying the Lord. How are you supposed to impact the nations if you're not impacted by the Lord yourself? And secondly, commitment to the Word of God. We have to be ready for the hope that is within us. So just committing ourselves to being saturated in the Word of God, and also saturated even in culture and learning how people think, you know. Just yesterday I met an atheist. I got to talk to him and I gave him some literature. He said, no, I'm not an atheist. I'm like, that's great, you know, I want to hear how you think. And I got to talk to him for 20 minutes, and at the end I was able to give him literature which he didn't want to get before on some of the proofs of why God exists and stuff. And it's just good to be committed to give an answer, and also connecting with people. John 4, the Lord Jesus connected with that woman who was not of the Jews. She was Samaritan, and the Bible says that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And I wonder maybe if the Jews, maybe it's because of their human tradition, they didn't want to deal with the Samaritans. And I wonder sometimes maybe if our stumbling block to evangelize to people is our human traditions. We need to make sure that we're getting out and doing justice to what the Lord commanded us to do, is to go out and preach the gospel to everyone. And if our human traditions get in the way, then we're not doing what the Great Commission says, is to go out to all the world. So just a challenge to all of us that we need communion, we need to commit our things to the things of the Lord. ourselves to things, Lord, and we need to connect with people. We need to learn to listen to people to see where they're at. You know, we could just stuff it down their throats and just right when we meet someone say, John 3:16, you're going to hell. We could do that, but they're not going to listen to us. You know, they're not. Maybe you might have to listen to them for 20 minutes, hear what they have to say, hear their heresy, and then, you know, and then just listen to them. And maybe it'll help you learn how to read people and see where they're at. And maybe you won't see them saved, but maybe you'll just be a seed. Maybe you'll just make them more aware that God exists. And the next person, the next Christian that comes, they'll bring the word of God to them, and they'll preach John 3:16 to them. So just, I encourage everyone just to learn how to connect with people, learn how to read people, learn to use, just trust the Lord and use the Lord's leading when witnessing. So I know I'm way over time, so I'm just going to pray, and hopefully you guys will forgive me.